What you're seeing now is effectively Gen AIs weaponizing and supercharging how they can, you know, do deepfakes or phishing or malware, randomware. There's so many different types that they can do. And for companies itself, it's very important because once you have, you know, an issue with Gen AI and your data being compromised, I think it takes a very long time for that company to get back on the front foot and ensuring that people believe there's, you know, governance around the AI risks and what that should do.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past and present. In this episode, we are going to talk about AI as the governance risk that keeps many company executives up at night. Joining us to share her insights is Elfriede Jonker, Client Portfolio Manager and Investment Specialist at Alphinity Investment Management. Elfriede, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Well, can I just say that I've had a look at the sustainability report that you recently released. Super impressed with the depth and breadth of information there. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to kind of unpack one of the emerging concerns, if you like, that was highlighted in the report, being digital technology. But first, for those who are not familiar with Alphinity Investment Management, can you share a little bit about the company's background?
Yes, certainly. So Alphinity Investment Management was started in 2010 by our four founders. So they used to work together at AllianceBernstein. And they started Alphinity with three Australian funds. So a core fund, a concentrated Australian fund, and then also a sustainable share fund. And in 2015, we also launched our global core fund. And then a few years later, also our global sustainable fund. So we are effectively an active equity manager. We're based in Sydney. We currently have 21 employees with Vedante or Challenger helping us, assisting us with the back office and distribution administration functions. So everyone at Alphinity, all 21 of us do focus on investments or have an influence in some way or form into those five equity funds that we manage.
Now, I believe the Global Sustainable Fund was one of the catalysts in you looking at responsible AI, which we will talk about later.
Yes.
But first, let's go back to the sustainability report. What are the highlights from this report on the just the general topic of digital technology?
Yes, so this is our third ESG and sustainability annual report. The last one is for financial year 2024, which ended in June 24. And effectively, over that period, we undertook close to 200 ESG-specific engagements. And it's really across global as well as Australian companies. And one of the key themes that we've picked up from the work that we've done with the companies was really the focus on cybersecurity, data privacy, and AI. And that came up in more than 20% of our discussions of the meetings we held that came up as one of the key priorities to focus on. And that is why going forward, this will be not just the top priority for us from an ESG and sustainability point of view, but also what we will be sort of demanding from companies when you do speak to them to see how they are incorporating this and what they're doing, not just the opportunities, but also on the risk side.
So just repeating that stat, 20% of those you've engaged with said, this is one of the things that keep us up at night. So let's unpack that. So specifically, whether you want to talk about data privacy or cybercrime, can you give us some of the examples of those engagements?
Yes. So effectively, what we've done is we've engaged with a whole range of companies in Australia as well as globally, really around the issue. And the reason why it is such a big issue now is not that AI is a new thing. AI is already, you know, known since the 1950s. It's really still since the launch of ChatGPT in less than 3 years ago, actually. We can't believe it. the generative AI really got on the forefront. And since then, we've seen an absolute rapid evolvement of generative AI. And, you know, we are now talking about agentic AI and physical AI. It's just changing so quickly.
Mm.
And if you look at generative AI specifically, there's so many opportunities relating to it, but also huge amount of risks. So just a study by McKinsey this year basically said that 78% of global companies are currently using AI in at least one business function. And that's up from 72% last year and 55% in 2023. So it really has become not just something that some companies are talking about, but it really is something that every single company should be talking about. So on the global side, to give you a few examples, so Netflix is, for example, a company that we've engaged with specifically around the ESG and sustainability issues. And also, I think just because they are using AI so extensively across a whole range of things, I think one of the things we found from our ESG review was that generative AI in content production was a potential risk. It was particularly relevant given the business disruption caused by the labor strikes the company had in 2023 with the major Hollywood unions. And what resulted from that is that they resolved the issues in 2023. They signed a deal with some of these unions for increased compensation and employee benefits and restrictions on the use of AI. And then going forward, you know, they are viewing this as a top priority, not just from an opportunity perspective, but also from a risk perspective. So us at Alphinity, our ESG sustainability team, engaged with the company twice after that to better understand outcomes of the resolution and their view on, you know, something similar like that happening in the shorter term. And effectively, they've confirmed that they have now put internal guidelines with cross-functional management on the use of AI in place. And they are now basically happy with the outcome and they're satisfied with the outcome with the unions. And what they're doing now is they're providing feedback that they publish in their AI guidelines externally, which we view as very positive. It's something that wasn't there before. So it is a longer-term opportunity that exists for Netflix in the way they will be using it, and that will continue to evolve. And at the same time, we will continue to engage with the business and look at their stated policy commitments and their guardrails around AI and ensure that that sort of transparency and trust that they've now put in place will continue to be the case going forward. So that is, for example, just one company that we've dealt with on the global side. And then locally, you know, we had a huge amount of engagement with domestic companies, particularly companies like NAB and West Farmers as well.
So with NAB and West Farmers, I also write some content for Money Magazine. Cybercrime and banking is definitely close to the hearts of many money readers. But how does this become a governance risk? I know it sounds like an obvious question, but if you're a banking executive, why is this a governance risk?
Yes, I think from an executive point of view, it's become a governance risk because of all the opportunities that cyber attackers are using generative AI, incorporating it in how they are actively, you know, attacking companies. So, for example, I think generative AI is just making the world of cyber threats and attacks so much faster, more scalable, more sophisticated. And what you're seeing now is effectively Gen AI is weaponizing and supercharging how they can, you know, do deepfakes or phishing or malware, randomware. There's so many different types that they can do. And for companies itself, it's very important because once you have, you know, an issue with Gen AI and your data being compromised, I think it takes a very long time for that company to get back on the front foot and ensuring that people believe there's, you know, governance around the AI risks and what that should do. So I think what we have seen now is a huge amount of focus, not just by executive teams, but also by the boards on the focus of the governance risks around AI and how it can impact and influence not just internally and your systems and processes internally, but also externally, how that can change the perception companies have about you from a security and risk and overall ESG perception.
I'm not going to name names, but definitely at the RIA conference this year, someone was on stage on the topic of boards and how actively they should engage in all the AI issues. And someone on the panel said, my goodness, if you as a board member or as the chair don't understand AI, then you really shouldn't be on the board, because that is such a massive issue for them. And now it's no longer the quarterly meetings, but you almost have the weekly meeting or the impromptu meetings, because AI is just moving so fast. So I totally get what you're saying there for NAB or for West Farmers, for example. So with all that information, how is Alphinity embracing the opportunities to begin with, but also the challenges from the, you know, this evolution of digital technology, and now we've got generative AI?
Yeah, so let's start with the opportunities firstly. It is a super exciting part of the investment universe for us as investors of global and Australian equities, because what we are seeing is not just companies, you know, at the forefront of AI that's ensuring that we actually have the capability of generative AI, such as NVIDIA, Microsoft, and some of the other international big hyperscalers, but also what we are seeing is AI, the whole ecosystem benefiting from this new revolution. And that is where we talk about companies that is, you know, supplying the power, building the data centers, and also, you know, electricity grid operators. And then thirdly, we are also noticing and finding companies that's really embracing AI and ensuring that they are reducing their costs and increase efficiencies by using them in a very proactive way. And that is where we do see, you know, use cases across every single sector, from customer service to digital assistance and inventory management. The list is endless. And us as investors, you know, do a lot of work to try and understand how companies are incorporating it, and do they have a long-term plan as far as digital and the digital revolution and generative AI specifically. On the challenges side, there are obviously many. As I've mentioned, it was sort of one of our top four material ESG issues across our holdings that we've identified from an ESG and sustainability perspective, partly because there's not really a proper lack. There is a proper lack of disclosure across companies.
Right.
Even though it feels like we have had generative AI for a long time, we haven't really had that. And it will take a bit of time for companies to adjust and address what investors need to see from an ESG perspective to ensure and give us comfort that they have a solid digital policy in place and all the guardrails in place around that to ensure that they don't see the increased risks around cyber attacks and things like that.
Well said. Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the sustainability report?
Yes, I would definitely urge investors, if you are interested in really understanding how sustainable investors look at the world of ESG and sustainability for global and Australian companies, I urge you to have a look at our annual ESG and sustainability report. This is the third one that we've done, and we will continue to do that as stewards. We really want to ensure that investors see and understand what are all the opportunities and risks around ESG and sustainability. And the companies that's included in there, there's a huge amount of case studies of Australian and global companies. If investors are interested in that side of the investment case, there's a wealth of information in there, and they can find it on our website in our insights section, alphinity.com.au.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to read the report, we will include a link in our show notes. Elfrida, once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Michelle.
This is The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.